In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, here in the church at our liturgy, we talked about when we commemorated the Holy Fathers of the Ecumenical Councils, how our faith is a faith that is revealed, that nobody gets credit for figuring anything out or discovering something, that God shows us who He is and He reveals Himself to us. This was manifest in the teachings of the Holy Fathers of the Councils, and we also see it articulated in the epistle today from St. Paul to Timothy, this idea that our faith is given to us. It's not just revealed to us, but it's something that we receive and then we teach to other people so that they might believe and do the same. Nowhere is this articulated so clearly in the Gospels, in the New Testament, except right here in Timothy. Timothy is being addressed by Paul, and Paul tells him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. So he's telling him to go out and teach and to be a witness to the faith. But it doesn't stop there. He doesn't tell him just to teach it to some people. Teach it to faithful men and trust it to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So on and on and on it goes. In the witness of the Holy Fathers, for example, in all the saints. And we're given this epistle reading today in honor of a very great saint of the church, the great martyr Demetrius. We see him pictured over here on the south wall, right after the icon screen. St. Demetrius, the great myrrh-streaming, a great martyr. Like St. George, he was a soldier, and he was in charge during a time when Christians were persecuted and they were being killed for their faith during one of the worst persecutions in the early church. Demetrius did not execute the Christians, did not follow the orders to have them killed, but rather he revealed his own faith in Jesus Christ, and he proclaimed it, and he was imprisoned for it. Later, they seized him, and they executed him. And afterwards, his body began streaming myrrh, a healing, sweet fragrance that for us is a symbol of God's mercy and also of His salvation. So many great miracles worked by St. Demetrius. We honor him today in the church at his feast day. So the lives of the saints, the witness of the saints, is one of those things that enlightens us, that allows us to receive the faith, and teaches us to teach it to others. And the content of that faith, of course, is who is God? Who is God and who is Jesus Christ? And what has He done for us? And then, of course, ultimately, what is our response going to be? And we see that played out in today's gospel, brothers and sisters in Christ. We also mentioned a couple weeks ago, because we were right into what we call in the church the Lucan cycle of gospel readings. Half of the year, the regular year, not counting Great Lent, we're in the Gospel of Matthew. We're reading readings from Matthew in church and hearing them. And the other half, beginning right about the end of September, we get into the Gospels of Luke. So it's kind of astonishing when we discover that most of the time in church, we're hearing Gospels from either Matthew or Luke, primarily. And why is that? We said because of the enormous amount of exclusive material in the form of parables. Parables is classically in Scripture the way a lesson is taught. It's a story. It sets up a narrative and a situation, and then we read it and we hear it, and then we discuss the outcome and we learn from that. Parables were in the Old Testament Scriptures, and Jesus used them to teach. And all the narratives in here we can learn from as well. So we have Luke's Gospel today, this story of a healing that takes place. And there are several things we can learn about who is God, how is God, what He's done for us in Jesus Christ, and then ultimately, what are we going to do about that? How are we going to respond? We see a couple of different responses in today's gospel. The first thing we can point out about this gospel reading is that Jesus is recognized by the demons as Lord and Master. Even the demons who possess the man see him and shudder with fear because they know his power and they recognize it. And they beg him, it says, do not torment us. In one of the other Gospels, it says, are you here to torment us before the time? Because they know that Jesus is the Lord and he will come again at the judgment. So they're saying, are you doing it already? We know you're going to come in glory. A really strong recognition of Jesus' lordship there. And Jesus has mercy because he is merciful, because God is merciful, and he did not come to judge and to punish, but he came rather to build people up and teach them that in order to live with God and to be with God, you had to learn what God is all about. So he shows them mercy. He is merciful and he allows them to depart not into the abyss as they feared, but into a herd of swine who are later drowned down the steep embankment, as it says. So God is merciful. Jesus is Lord, and as Lord and as God himself, he shows us how God is. He is merciful. He loves. The other thing we want to see is that this man is possessed and he's not in his right mind, it says. Mental illness, any kind of physical impairment we read about in scriptures is always for us a sign of the result of sin. Not necessarily one sin that this man committed and we make a correlation. He did something, therefore he's punished with this illness. No, but rather the manifestation of a sin in someone's life, the presence of a physical illness comes about because of our general sinfulness as human beings. So because of our condition, we have these things and we deal with them. There's a strong connection for us as human beings, as Christians especially, between sanity and what God has called us to be. We might say between sanity and sanctity. They sound alike in English, and I remember studying Old English in graduate school and reading some of the literature, actually Middle English, Chaucer, and finding that the word for holiness, for holy, and for health that we have in English come from the same etymological root. They're rooted in the same word. So in English, when we say we are sane, it's like saying we are sanctified. At least it should trigger for Christians a connection. And that's true because God wants our sanity. He wants us to be grounded in reality. He wants us to be whole, and he wants us to be holy, just as he himself is holy. For us, they should be the same thing. If we are healthy, if we are sane, we are making progress toward holiness. Because that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is what God wants for us. He created us to be holy, not to be mired in insanity and possessed by demons and driven into the wilderness as this man is. Notice he's resisting any efforts to contain. The demons are resisting any efforts to be contained, but rather they're rebelling. And we know that in the wilderness, there's no growth. It's deserted. Okay, so we can't bear fruit the way God wants us to be. Our calling is to be holy. That's the second thing we learn from this gospel. And then we see at the end here, after this miracle happens, after the man is restored to health, it says they found him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. So in his right mind, in other words, on the path to holiness, sitting at the feet of Jesus, a sign of submission, wanting to learn, wanting to be taught, learning from the Lord, recognizing his lordship, and clothed as well. That's an interesting detail. He is clothed. He's not naked anymore. Yesterday, we had a baptism here in the church. We baptized Andrew Easton. And there's one prayer that we say right before he comes out of the water and he's about to put on his new undergarment. And we say, vouchsafe, O Lord, to clothe me with the garment of incorruption. God clothes us in a spiritual sense with His very being, with what He is, incorruptibility and everlasting life. And He gives that to us in our life when we recognize Him. So to be clothed for us, Christians, is certainly a sign of having God's grace within us and manifest in our lives. To be clothed with the garment of incorruption, to be clothed with the gift of immortality that God bestows upon us. So three things here. God is merciful. Our sanctity is tied into our sanity. Remember, the world doesn't help us in our efforts to be sane. In fact, we might argue very effectively that it works against our efforts to be sane. The things that we're taught on television and in the political world and just out there apart from the church are always seems directed toward drawing us away from what God wants us to be and breaking up our sanity, causing us to be insane. Doesn't the world sometimes make you feel insane? But God wants us sane. He wants us grounded in His reality, in a prayerful life, in the church, participating in the sacraments, hearing the gospel, and sharing it with other people. So sanctity is equal to sanity for Christians. And finally, what are we going to do about this great miracle that God has shown us? The various reactions to Jesus' actions here are kind of astounding. We could see that the people of the surrounding country, after they were told what had happened, they saw the man sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed in his right mind. They heard how he had been and how Jesus had healed him. And what do? They tell Jesus, get out. They begged him to depart. They didn't want to have anything to do with that healing, with that health, with that sanity that Jesus was bringing. So we have to understand, brothers and sisters in Christ, that there's really that element. We're always given the option to reject God or to accept Him. Nobody's forcing us or coercing us to accept God's grace. We can be shown God in His fullness, and we believe that happens in the worship, in the liturgy, in the body and blood of Jesus. You know, we have seen the true light, we have received the Heavenly Spirit, and we could still want no part of it, just like these people here in this gospel. So that's a sobering aspect of the faith. And then the man himself asks to be one of Jesus' disciples. He wants to go with Jesus and travel with Him. But Jesus tells him no, because he's not needed in that capacity. What is needed is for him to depart and to go out and to share with other people the wonderful thing that God has done for him. He tells him, return to your home and declare all that God has done for you. And that's just what he does. He goes away proclaiming throughout the whole city all that Jesus had done for him. So God acts in our lives, you know. He will show himself to us. He will heal us at times. He will give us physical restoration to health. He'll cure our illness and our madness if we're plagued by it for a purpose, for a specific purpose. And that's to share in his goodness, to share his goodness with other people, to go proclaim the word so that other people might have the opportunity to accept it, as we hope they do, or they can also reject it, as we saw in the gospel with this group of people from the Gadarenes. They wanted no part of Jesus. Depart from us. They were scared. And we might be scared too. That's the bottom line. If we stop and we look at ourselves, we know that God is real and what we do here in the church is true worship. We might be afraid of seeing ourselves as we really are. But we don't have to be. We don't have to be. Each one of us comes with baggage, as we say in the modern parlance. We have our sins. We have our passions. We have our faults. We have our shortcomings. And God knows that. He's not here to criticize or punish us for them, but He's here to bring us together so that we can be healed. And in order to let Him heal us, we have to first realize that we need healing. So we come to the church as a hospital, brothers and sisters in Christ. No one here is perfect. Christians, people who come to church, are not perfect people. That's a gross misunderstanding. It's people who, hopefully, on the right track, realize that they are not perfect and want to do something about it. So we're here today to learn, to build each other up, to hear the gospel, and ultimately to share in the sacramental body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in which we believe is the fullness of God. So we thank Him for the opportunity to come together to worship, to hear the Word. We pray that in our life we would not be the ones who tell God, "Go, depart from us, we want no part of you." But rather, we receive His blessings and His mercy, and then we go out and we share it with others and tell them all the wonderful things that God has done for us. Because He is working miracles and doing great things in our lives today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.